Welcome to Final Verdict. I'm Bell.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Ploof.
And this week it's Ploof's pick.
Hooray.
Oh, yeah.
Says me, but nobody else, because I know you guys don't like this album. That's okay.
Listen, you don't know that. We only just started. They could turn around.
Sheesh.
Okay. So I picked 3 Inches of Blood's Advance and Vanquish. It's their second album, because they're a local-ish band, a Canadian band formed in Victoria, BC in 1999. Consisting of Cam Pipes on vocals, Jamie Hooper growling and screaming, Sonny Dack on lead guitar, Bob Froese on rhythm, and Brian Redman on bass, and Matt Wood on drums.
I think everyone that recorded this album has since left the band. Or has...
Maybe not.
Is it
Cam?
A band of Theseus? Is it still going?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
It's so, yeah. So they formed in 99, made like 4 albums. I like the first 2. The third one is okay. And the fourth one is whatever.
I think the article says that this is like the last one with the guitarist and the bassist.
Yeah. This is the last one before they kind of really started moving around a bit in terms of members. And they broke up, and then there was a reunion tour that I actually missed. That was earlier this year.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was in like January. They played at the Commodore.
Which is in Vancouver.
Yeah, part of why I chose this album is because the 2024, this is the first time that Advance and Vanquish has ever come out on vinyl, and it was limited to a 1,000 copy run.
So it's a fairly rare record.
There's only 1,000, and I mean, it's also like a niche Canadian metal band.
Yeah.
So I don't expect it to like ever creep up in value a whole ton or anything, but it's a good album to me because I've like, I don't know, when I was like 16... I was listening to a lot of 3 Inches of Blood because they're a Canadian metal band, and I was listening to a lot of metal back then. And I didn't know they were from Vancouver, though, or Victoria, rather. But yeah, I don't know. We used to listen to them while partying and stuff, especially this one, Deadly Sinners was like a big hit when we were kids.
Yeah, and this album is on the Roadrunner label, which has a lot of metal bands.
Yeah, yeah.
Roadrunner Records has a lot of metal bands.
See, I'm a Wiley man.
Wiley
Dang,
Coyote.
Dang, yeah, that Wiley, yeah, the opposite.
Side. Acme.
Yeah. But yeah, I've got fond memories of it, and when they kind of finally came out with the 20th anniversary edition, especially because it's a limited run, I kind of just had to have it. So I think I bought it for like $60 shipped or something, which is a lot, but it's also 1,000 copies.
Yeah, limited.
So it's,
limited,
yeah, it's limited, so whatever, that's fine. I'm just mad I wasn't able to get it from a store. I bought it from like a store reseller or something. Just through Discogs. But yeah, I got my copy. Looks great. Plays pretty well. And I'm pretty happy with it. I like 3 Inches of Blood because they kind of remind me of like Iron Maiden or maybe Megadeth. Songs like Hangar 18 and The Trooper.
Sure, they ape a lot of different 80s metal.
Yes.
Or classic metal, if you will.
Yeah, it's like classic metal, almost thrash at times, almost glam at times, especially because of the like really high falsetto voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like them. What do you guys think?
Well, I found out about this album. Well, I knew about this album. I knew about 3 Inches of Blood because there was a guy in my high school that was very into them.
Yeah.
This album came out in 2004, so I was in grade 11 then. Anyway, there was a guy I went to high school with. He was very into them. But I was into the other Canadian metal band.
What was the other Canadian metal band?
Anvil.
Oh, Anvil. Yeah. Yeah, Anvil... them, 3 Inches of Blood, and I know Mastodon's not Canadian, but I used to listen to like those three bands and Iced Earth, like quite a bit all around the same time.
So, Anvil's a really fascinating band. If you'd like to learn more about them, there's the Anvil, the Story of Anvil, which is a documentary about how those guys never made it big, and they like worked as like delivery drivers and stuff like that, and they followed them around. And then they finally made it big, or bigger.
Bigger.
Anyway, something I thought interesting about this is that the cover was drawn by Edward Repka, which is the guy who draws all the Megadeth covers.
Oh, that's why it's so familiar. Yeah.
It is a great album cover.
We'll talk about the album cover later. But yes, it is pretty cool. It's pretty badass.
You got a Viking.
It definitely makes sense. I could totally see Megadeth influence on it.
Yeah, he draws a lot of the Megadeth and some other bands.
Yeah.
But this isn't my favorite.
Sure.
Metal album.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate its call outs to other albums that I've, they don't actually call them out, but it calls
similarities.
Has similarities to albums by like bands like Accept, Anthrax, Iron Maiden, maybe Priest.
Sure.
Judas Priest, and of course Megadeth, and probably a little bit of maybe not Slayer, but
yeah, not quite Slayer. It's not like Slayer level of thrash metal.
They do story songs though, like Slayer.
Yes,
but a lot of metal does.
Yeah, it's pretty typical.
The interesting thing about metal to me is that if you slow metal down, it's just the blues.
Yeah.
If you take away the distortion, it's just surf music.
Yes. Someone did a cool thing on YouTube where it's like, this is black metal slowed down and without like any distortion or something. And it was, yeah, it was literally just like surf metal.
Yeah, it was surf music.
Yeah, it was surf music basically. It was like Dick Dale kind of stuff.
Yeah. It was really like cool. There's a lot of fast playing and stuff like that. So I don't hate metal. I own a lot of metal albums, but this one in particular, it didn't do anything for me. It's fine. It's technically proficient. But I found that a lot of the songs were very samey.
100%. Yep.
And I looked at a couple contemporary reviews, and some of them agreed with me, and some of them thought it was pretty good. This was reviewed in Kerrang, which is used to be a metal publication, I guess. Metal and punk and stuff like that, but they no longer exist. And it was reviewed kind of lukewarmly.
Sure.
Punk News kind of reviewed it kind of lukewarmly, but they're a punk publication, not a metal publication. Yep. So I don't know. It's okay. What do you think, Bill?
You know, I'd never heard of 3 Inches of Blood, surprisingly. I know.
Oh, wow.
But after last week, I was happy to listen to a band I have no expectations of. After Tame Impala, and, you know, no spoilers, but whatever. Now I don't feel bad I don't like this album, because I didn't know who they were anyways, and I did not like it. I won't have a whole lot to say this episode, because I don't feel like I have the knowledge to add much of like what could be added.
You know, even though I have the knowledge, I also don't have that many notes.
Yeah, but I do agree that lots of the songs sound the same, and they sound very hollow. Like, there's no, it's not very full. It feels like there needs to be some of the, there's themes to some of these songs, whether it's like pirates and sailing or orcs and battling, but it's just the same instruments and the same key, cyborgs, and it's totally all the same. When, like, yeah, Wickedtron could use some like cybernetic noises and synths, or the sailing one could use violins or other instruments of that time,
they
or
a lot
swords
of this,
clashing and stuff like that. Like, it's just,
they play a lot of the same riffs too.
Do the drums and the singer going, really high pitched, and it's like, oh my gosh! And I'm pretty sure the one vocalist is also doing the harmonies. Like, it's just a second track.
No, there's two.
There's two.
Okay,
there's two
vocalists. They sound so similar.
Yeah,
I think that's intentional.
It sounds like it's just him screaming, and then him also doing falsetto.
Yeah,
it's a negative because it's every song.
Yeah, it's two separate ones. His impression of Meatwad is on point.
He doesn't have an impression of Meatwad?
No, it just sounds like Meatwad the entire time.
It's like Meatwad, but less squishy.
Sure.
It's like the same kind of note registry.
It is very of a time. I mean, like, if you like bands like King Diamond, which is like another metal band where he sings in a falsetto the entire time, it's fine. It's a perfectly acceptable falsetto. It's just, it's a lot. This album is exactly as long as Tame Impala's Currents, which is the previous episode.
Yeah.
I know. I was doing both the notes for these episodes. I was like, oh.
Yeah. I think they're longer by like 20 seconds.
And our rule is after an hour, it's a long one. You're only allowed so many. Both of these 51 minutes.
I know. Yeah, they both squeak in. I know.
I will point out with Tame Impala, you requested we would talk about that album.
That's true. You've been asking about that one for a while.
So this one we did not request.
Don't victim blame me.
Yeah, I fully expected to pick several ska albums in a row. I actually was going to choose No Doubt, and then which would have been a bit more topical.
I would love No Doubt with a reunion coming up too.
I know. Maybe I'll pick it for next time.
That'd
but
be sick.
Spoiler of that review: No Doubt's okay. They're fine. No, whatever.
Don't speak.
It's not that album. I don't think.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's Tragic Kingdom, and I've got their first. I don't have Tragic Kingdom yet.
Weren't they like more ska in their first album?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's why
boy.
I said I was gonna pick a bunch of ska. Anyway,
they are very of a time.
Yeah, but this came out, and I was completely blindsided by it. I was just randomly listening to them because I really wanted to listen to Deadly Sinners, and I thought, you know, I'll check and see if they have any records, and boom, I found out that this had just been released.
Yeah, it's funny that happens sometimes. Hey. We've done that a couple of times where we found out that we wanted to cover an album and they had like some special release.
That just came out.
Yeah, like I wanted to cover the Talking Heads. What was the live album that they put out? Because they just re-released it. I can't
remember. We were talking about it.
Yeah, work, so I bought a copy of it, and then we actually never talked about it. But.
I kind of agree with you guys on a bunch of points.
Stop Making Sense. That's what
the name spells. Like, I love this album for nostalgic reasons, and I love certain tracks on this album, and that's why I bought it, is for songs like Deadly Sinners or Slay the Orcs, or Destroy the Orcs, and like Wicked Tron, or I don't know, whatever. I like a few key songs, and it is long. It's a 51-minute album, and there's a lot of songs that sound very similar to the others. Because, they're all just basically, here's some metal, here's a theme about, like, Vikings or warriors, and here's some screaming and growling and falsetto singing, and it's really epic and, like, over the top. And I love that for, like, two or three songs. But a whole album is a little tough to stomach at times, so... I chose it, but I'm not going to give it like a 9 out of 10 or anything like that.
I think I got it about 8 songs in before I was very tired of
it. Yeah, I get it.
It sounds exaggerating to say that the songs get exhausting.
They do, though.
But the album is very, very okay. It is very technically proficient. But the problem is that it's proficient in a way that's almost annoying.
Yeah, it's like it's decent, but they never go
away from the formula that they've set out to.
It's very formulaic. They never do anything that's like really impressive. Like the guitar solos are good, but they're not like, oh my God, this guy's a guitar wizard or anything like that.
Yeah, none of the solos are like...
The drummer's fine.
Yeah, the drumming is very tight, but the none of the guitar solos are particularly intricate.
Yep.
They're not fast like speed metal.
No. Like he does some blast beats here and there, but it's not like crazy.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of noodling or anything like that. It's very formulaic, but like almost to a fault.
Yeah. I think that if you like the theme of like Vikings and warriors and stuff and you like metal, you'd probably at least like the album or like a few tracks on the album, but I definitely don't think it's for everybody.
It's not.
No, it's definitely not.
Look, it's Bell. He is every man.
Hello, it's me. Bell every man.
Bell every man. Now with Long Distance.
Should we listen to it one more time?
Sure.
That was definitely an album of all time.
That was definitely an album of all time. Mm-hmm. It starts with Fear on the Bridge, Upon the Boiling Sea 1. Upon the Boiling Seas.
Yeah, it's a three-part trilogy on this album about pirates.
Not even necessarily pirates. I thought that too, and I went and looked back, and there's no like direct pirate call-out. It's just...
Plunder?
Well, they talk about plunder.
Taking riches, taking no prisoners.
That's what Vikings did, though.
My understanding is about pirates. Touché.
Touche. I thought that too when listening to those exact same lyrics, but then I was like,
Skull and Crossbone Force, Crow's Nest Spots a Flag. It's pirates.
Yeah, it's pirates.
The Skull and Crossbones, The flag, like, closed. The Crow's Nest, there's a Crow's Nest on like every ship.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You have your flag and you're looking for other ships. Like, 100%.
Age of Booty. Is that the rare pirate game?
Age of Booty?
No,
Sid Meier's pirates are cool.
Yeah,
no, rare, like the Rareware.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know
sea
who
thieves.
Made
the Sea of Thieves. Thank
you. The singer shrieking is wild. It's not what I expected from a vocal at all.
Oh yeah,
the scream around a minute 30 is so high pitched; it's a little goofy.
Yes,
it's like what you would imagine a kid's movie, like squeezing a toy or a little man.
I love it.
The instrumentation is fine. It's just a little boring, and this is again my first note. It feels hollow.
Sure,
it just needs more full. Full noise sound,
and there's like two guitars. Like it's a big band with like five or six guys.
Yes,
that's nuts.
I know, because I agree with you.
It must
you.
Be the way it's mixed.
It's like maybe partly the way it's mixed, maybe partly that they're just the two guitarists are playing really similar stuff.
Even though they're playing the very similar parts.
Like there's a lead and a rhythm, but like they're both playing really close together, and then like one guy solos every now and then, and that's kind of all it is.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. but I fully agree with every criticism you guys have said.
I'm not entirely clear. Is this a parody of metal?
I think it's just a theme.
So some of the reviewers, contemporary, were unclear whether that they were trying to do a comedy metal album. They were trying to evoke a theme.
That's crazy.
I don't hear comedy metal.
So comedy metal in the sense that they're making,
yeah, like making parodying
light of other types of metal.
Yeah, I still don't necessarily agree. I think both of the, because these guys were in another band before that, or at least some of them are, and it was like just metal. Yeah. Like I don't think this was ever a joke.
I know it's nostalgic, but is it nostalgic in the sense that they're making light of like bands that make songs about like pirates and plundering and stuff like that?
I don't think so.
I mean, like Mastodon has a whole album that's inspired by Moby Dick.
Yeah.
It's really good, by the way.
Yeah.
I understand that's a theme of metal, but anyway, the first song is okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I really like the high notes he hits. I like the guitar licks. This one's really like Iron Maiden-y to me. But it just really sets the scene for kind of what you're getting yourself into with the whole, and I love how it starts with the, like, this one and all the other parts of the trilogy have the like ship noises in them. I kind of like that. But yeah, definitely for a specific audience for sure.
Yes.
And then we get Deadly Sinners. This is probably my favorite one on the whole album.
It's a favorite of video games. This is featured in Thug 2.
Wait, really?
Brutal Legend and Saints Row 2.
No way.
It is very much a you can't stop the metal. The metal is much too strong kind of song.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Punk rock tried to kill the metal, but they were proven wrong.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I think the chorus is dope. I really love the growling juxtaposed with the like falsetto.
Certainly.
I especially like that, you know, strikes you in the dark part about halfway through. It's got some cool lyrics, like enemies of metal, your death is our reward. I don't know. It's just like, it's, I understand the whole comedic approach, but I think that this is just like this is the epitome of like metal themed around like Viking warriors and stuff. And I love Deadly Sinners. I think it's just great.
Yeah, the vibrato in the chorus from the singer is pretty fire.
I gotta give him that.
And the solo at 240 is pretty decent.
Yeah.
Okay.
That song feels long.
Sure. It is long. Yeah.
It feels long, though.
Yeah. Remember,
there is a difference.
That's true.
Oh, that's fair. I will give you that.
And this feels long.
Yeah. I do, although it's long, and I think they could cut like 30 seconds to a minute from it, I really like how they have the almost false ending where at the end he's like, take one last step before you die, and they kind of like stop and then come back for another 30 seconds, like really strong. But yeah, I agree. It's a long song.
Revenge.
Is a vulture. I like the drums on this one. Nothing crazy. They're just kind of rock steady. The guitar riff for the verse is dope. They've got some pretty good screaming and growling again. Mm. Good high notes during the chorus. It's a
good solo at 220 as well.
Yep.
I think my only complaint on the solos, there's quite a few that are decent. I'm sure I'll mention them in most songs. So I do wish it were longer.
100%.
The solos are pretty short.
Yeah.
It's very metally.
They're all decent solos. None of them, like, they're good.
Yeah, they're not fantastic.
They're short.
Means, but they're just short.
Yeah, I fully agree.
So metal does this thing with solos, which I find interesting. Either a solo is
super
very
short
long
or super
or
long.
Very long. Yeah, yeah. Short. Yeah. Yeah. So like you get Hangar 18.
Yeah, which is like 2 minutes of soloing or something.
And then you get songs like this where it's like you get like a little noodle.
Couple quick licks and that's it. Maybe a squeal at the end.
And it's very interesting that metal is very...
one way or the other.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I like the vocals at the end with the growl and the scream, but Revenge of the Vulture is fine.
This is one I had very few notes on.
This one where I also noted that it would be cool to have harmonies that would benefit from different sounding vocals.
Sure,
it kind of stood out for that, but otherwise I don't really have notes.
Then we get Dominion of Deceit. This one's probably like one of my least favorite songs on the album.
Really?
Yeah, it's got a lot of growling and screaming that I have trouble understanding without the lyrics right in front of me.
I'm actually surprised because we almost named Vinyl Verdict the Council of Heathens because of the song. like when we were starting off the podcast.
Right? Oh,
Council
of Heathens would be cool. I did know that. Yeah.
I like the quick drums on this one.
Yeah,
And yeah. The tone change around 2:15, and there's a little short solo.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the most thrash metal-y of the...
It is.
Yeah, maybe that's what I like about it, because I have the shredding and
speed. I'm just not always crazy about growling when it's, like, the main focus.
This is, like, guttural screaming.
It's very guttural, yeah. And, like, I like it when it's part of a song, but I don't like it when it's, like, the whole song. It's why I don't like a ton of screamo.
Oh, sure.
But I like, you know, parts of it. So this, like, I don't hate Dominion of Deceit.
Well, one day we're going to cover Slayer's Rain and Blood album, because I really like that album.
Yeah. I mean, it's iconic.
And that begins and ends with really good guttural screaming.
Yeah.
Angel of Death. Great song. Look it up.
Yeah. But anyway, it's fine. Solid song with, like, solo around 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, the guitars are very fast on this song. I appreciate that. I like a good fast guitar
song. Me too. Then we get Premonition of Pain. This one's got another lot of, like, really good guitar licks. Definitely more thrash metal. I like how it changes up after about a minute for the, like, brick by brick part. Good vocals from the singers. Good solo at the end. It's fine.
Yeah, I like the vocal pacing this one. It kind of, like, had me headbanging a little bit in the first verse.
Yeah.
And there's a little breakdown at 2 minutes that's kind of fire.
Yeah.
I was like, this one is not actively bad.
Hey, I'll take
not
it.
Not bad.
You know,
there's also a guitar solo around 2:40. That's pretty decent. I like that's not overly loud or sharp. It's just, like, a kind of fun and fast.
Yep.
It's the song I've enjoyed most so far. It's probably my second favorite song on the album.
Wow.
That's not bad.
I like that the premise of the song is that a guy has a premonition, goes to the king, and is like, bad stuff's going to happen. The king's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And then it happens, and the king's really surprised about it.
Yeah, I know. I don't normally care too much about, like, stories and songs, but I like all the little stories in most of these.
It's very much a, we did nothing, and I'm all out of ideas.
Yeah. Then we get Lord of the Storm, Upon the Boiling Sea Part 2. I like the Stormy Ship intro. I like it on all of them. Mm-hmm. I like the drums and, like, fast guitars. It's got a good double kick blast beat. It's good. This is another one of my favorites from the album. I like how well the guitar and the singing intertwine as well.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Ocean sounds are cool.
Ocean sounds are cool.
Ocean, man.
I like that there's some parts of the song that have a little back and forth between the vocals and the band.
Yep.
It doesn't happen much, though.
No.
And it doesn't happen on any other song, which is too bad.
Yeah, I agree. Then we get Wickedtron.
God, that's a cool song name.
It is.
And it's got a fun intro with heavy kick drumming.
Yeah.
And it's a song about a killer robot, and that's fire.
Yeah.
And it's got some tasteful gang vocals.
Yeah.
And the descriptions of all the awful things Wickedtron is doing to the human race is funny.
It is.
It's like, we made this robot to save us, and now it's evil. And now it's enslaved all of us, and it rips the flesh from our bones. Yeah. And it's like, oh.
I like how they go into, like, year 4055 for it, too. Like, it's way in the future. And
all hail
just...
Wickedtron.
Wickedtron. Did you read the story about why they wrote this song?
It's funny.
No, I didn't. What is it?
So they had a band that was opening for them, and they were awful. But someone crossed out their name on the poster and wrote Wickedtron instead.
Nice.
And they
just what does that mean? That's cool.
That's a cool robot name. Guess what? He's badass.
Yeah, we love Wickedtron.
Yeah, it's got some cool metal solos in the middle and a good outro and, fun theme. Then we get Swordmaster. I like the slight change up just before 2 minutes after he says stand and fight, kill or die. And then there's, like, a big section of harsh vocals. This one goes on too long, I think, like most of the tracks I wrote down. I feel like there was a good spot to end it after just, like, 3 minutes, and it just kind of keeps going.
Yeah.
It's okay. They told me there wouldn't have much notes for this one.
They're good solo at 126.
Sure.
Drums are cool. Lots of change-ups.
Yep.
I like that there are longer sections of instrumentation. Like I said, there isn't a whole lot of that.
Yeah.
This has a little bit of that.
Yeah.
That's on my notes.
That's cool. Then we get Axes of Evil. Actually, this is probably, like, my third favorite track on the album. You don't like Axes of Evil?
Boring. Boring and cheesy.
This is the point in the album that I got really tired of the sound.
So cheesy.
Oh, I love it. I love when he belts out, like, Axes of Evil.
Do you know what this album, the song is inspired by, Mr. Poof?
No,
Warcraft 3.
Hell yeah, nice. I love this album and I love this band, but I, like, don't know a whole ton about them other than they're like a semi-local
want to learn.
Band.
Yeah, it's like how I can't read. Warcraft 3 is the The only Warcraft game I've ever played.
Oh, yeah. It's the best one. Frozen Throne.
Sure.
Yeah, it's got steady, heavy drums, big solo about halfway through. It's just kind of more good, solid metal, screaming guitars, you know. And we get Crazy Nights. I like the drumming. Otherwise, it just sounds like more early 2000s Screamo for the most part, so I don't like this one as much.
No, it's weird, because I don't know. Crazy Nights sounds like a song that Tim Robinson would write for... For I Think You Should Leave. It's just like, well, it's a metal song about having a good time.
It's actually about 8 crazy nights.
Oh, no. Wow. Not again, please.
That's Whitey. Why the singer sounds like Whitey.
Oh, God.
On a shadow road. Oh, God.
Then we get Destroy the Orcs.
Man, orcs can't catch a break. No, man. There's got to be some good orcs
They're
out there.
They're evil.
This is the shortest song on the entire album.
Yeah. I wrote, this is where the vocals are really grating. Like, at that point, I was really done.
Yeah.
And then I don't have notes for the last two because I was just really over it by now.
Yeah. I think it's a kind of badass
one
song.
One of my notes
but
is just a joke. Then
I don't like it that much, though, because it's just kill the orcs, slay the orc, destroy the orcs. Yeah. Luckily, it's only 2.5 minutes.
Apparently, it's inspired by Tolkien. Yeah, which that makes, is very, makes sense. It's very sense. Metal.
Yeah. It's got a good scream before the solo outro.
Mm-hmm. The Phantom of the Crimson Cloak, which was Ploop's nickname in high school.
Totally.
The vocal, this she's got such. I genuinely recommend somebody check out the song "The Phantom of the Crimson Cloak."
Yeah,
just to hear his voice.
Yes, yes, that was striking.
It is really just something else.
100%. Like, I think part of what, so they made this band and then they picked up Cam Piper. Who's the guy doing the clean vocals with the...
Cam Pipes?
Sorry, Pipes. Yeah, they picked up Cam Pipes, and then he became basically like the front man of the band. And I think that without him, they would sound even more flat and like less interesting, but it's his crazy falsetto that just like drives me wild. It's why I like this band. If he was not in the band, I probably wouldn't care about them at all. I would write them off as just like another generic metal band, but... I don't know. I really
I'm trying to place like who he sounds like, but it really is just something else.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not crazy about Phantom of the Crimson Cloak. Yeah. I think that they could have just ended it on Destroy the Orcs.
Sure. But no, we get the third part.
Yeah. Isle of Eternal Despair. I think it's got a cool intro, some more epic solos and vocals.
Guy's got all the gold. He's hiding it on an island. But now he's being punished by the gods.
That's right.
As a golden skeleton, doomed to eternal life.
Like Wicked, he's Wicked Tron. I think it's a good song to end the album on. I
actually
like the ocean noise at the end.
Man.
Yeah. But yeah, that's basically it. You know, it's a long metal album.
51 minutes.
Yep. So yeah, I paid about $60 for this, shipping within Canada. That's CAD at least. So yeah, 1,000 copy run, transparent red vinyl, which I thought was a great choice. I mean, it's a, you know, album about like Viking and pirate warriors. I might as well put it on red. Pretty decent, plays nicely, single LP, even though it's 51 minutes long.
Well, you didn't describe the cover.
You're right, and it's such a cool cover.
It is, it truly
How
is.
Did
if
I
you're
skip?
On Spotify, you can see it on screen right now, or if you're on any other podcasting app, it's the icon for the episode, but it's usually probably pretty small.
So it's got all of these dudes with giant battle axes storming a castle or something in the background, and then it's got one big warrior who's like turned to face the cover, holding his battle axe. They've all got threes.
It's painted very nicely, too.
In their axes? Yeah, it's like an old painting kind of with like
very
really
Conan.
I love the tones,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's Conan the Barbarian.
I love the like purple and yellow in the sunset as well, just the tones they've chosen. And,
yeah, the font they use for the letters is cool too.
Yeah, yeah, very thematic. Like,
Ploof, what is best in life?
I don't know.
From Conan.
Oh my god. I can't remember. I haven't watched Conan now in like 10 years.
Destroy your enemies.
Hear
the lamentations of their women.
Yeah. God, I gotta rewatch Conan. The second one too. Yeah. It's not as good as the first. But yeah, and then the back is basically just another angle. It looks like they're closer to the castle and there's more soldiers.
Oh yeah.
And then it just says it's got the side one and side two track listing.
Wicked Tron
came out 2004. This was
I wish Wicked Tron was on the cover.
I, you know what? That
they were all
badass.
Fighting a giant robot,
right?
Or cyborg. That was so cool.
I agree, and I kind of wish that they'd slightly same cover otherwise, but just throw Wicked Tron instead 100%. Of some castle or on the back, have him like Wicked attacking Tron. People. But yeah, and then it's sleeved in they've got like some thanks on here. They list some other bands that they really like. credits, and then the lyrics for the songs on the other side. And then, as I mentioned before, the vinyl is a red transparent vinyl, which is very fitting.
Very nice.
Very nice, very thematic. I do appreciate that they basically chose a theme and stuck to it.
It's red, and it's an LP, so isn't it 12 inches of blood?
Ayo.
Hey. Great joke.
It's actually 3 inches thick. We forgot to mention that.
It's very thick. Yeah.
It's very heavy record.
But yeah, that's the physical portion of it. And please, gentlemen, give me your verdict.
Go for it, Jamie.
This album is aggressively okay. It follows a formula perhaps too closely. But the instrumentation is very... It's tight. It may not be what I want to listen to, but it's technically proficient. But overall, I did not enjoy the album in the sense that it is too samey. The lyrics are fun sometimes, but also incredibly cheesy in other times. But overall, I'd probably give it like a 7 out of 13 or something. Sure. Like that. It's kind of hard to place.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bell.
I did not like this album.
Yeah.
No, you don't say.
Too many of the songs sounded the same, and the singer's voice was a little too one note for me, and that one note sounded kind of funny. Honestly, don't have much more to say. If you like screamo and songs about death and revenge and robots, then maybe this is for you. But I feel like that is also pretty common in metal, so you can probably find that elsewhere. I'm putting this in the 34th spot under Lateralis by Tool and above Everything Goes Numb by Streetlight Manifesto. Sweet album cover, though.
Yeah.
Man, I went back and I was like, maybe this needs to go lower. And I listened to Streetlight Manifesto and I went, no.
Nope, hate this.
Man, it really, I was like, it can't have been that bad. No, it kind of is.
Oh,
it
kind of is.
Streetlight Manifesto, that was a bad album.
That's okay. I think it's a really fun metal album. It's not the best or the most original, but I love the high vocals with the Viking theme. And then the harsh vocals make it, you know, kind of interesting. Like Jamie pointed out, the instrumentation is fine. It's nothing crazy, but it's good enough. And I like that they're a local band. So I give it like a 7 out of 10. I think it's, you know, the only album that I actually really care about from this band, but I love it and I'm happy to finally own it, especially knowing that it's limited to like 1,000 copies. That's it. It's not much to say. It's an okay metal album. Yeah.
This was an okay episode. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. What are we doing next?
Next week we have a guest. Arthur of LMG social media fame.
Yeah.
A.K.A. he runs social media at for Linus Tech Tips.
Sure does.
He's coming on to talk about Yeet, specifically the album Life by Yeet, which is modern rap? I've never listened to
something.
Yeet, but yeah. I'm excited to talk about it. I'm excited to have you guys talk about it, because we haven't really covered a whole lot of rap.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I've chosen a couple albums, but...
Yeah, I was talking to him the other day about him coming on, not specifically about the album, but I said, Plouf likes rap, but he likes... rap differently than you would, and he even likes modern rap, but the rap might be different. Like I said, if Plouf is going to listen to rap, it's probably Aesop Rock.
So I had a funny conversation with Colin and Glenn about this, and as much as I like a lot of newer albums, I think that most of the albums I listen to are from artists that are at least 5 or 10 years old. Because Arthur mentioned all
that. That's pretty young.
It's modern hip hop. good joke. But like, I thought about it and I was like, oh yeah, I like modern rap. And then I had to think about it and I was like, I don't know if I actually do. Because everything, like, sure, I like this album that's like, you know, from this year or last year or whatever, but it's from a guy I've been listening to for like 15 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
Or
yeah.
Like 10 years even.
Yeah.
Like, I thought about it. I was like, when did Damn come out by Kendrick Lamar? And it was like, what, 2017 or something? Like, it wasn't just a couple years ago now.
No.
So, and even like, I was like, oh, but I like Denzel Curry. And I was like, oh, he's also, that was like 2018 or something was when Taboo came out. So it's like, yes and no. So I'm actually really curious to see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Me too. It's been something where I like rap, but I don't, it's not a genre I've been like listening to for a super long time. So sometimes it's one of those things where I'm like, do I pick it if I don't really have a whole lot of insight? So I was glad to have an excuse to talk about something modern, because I definitely would not pick Yeet. He did want to pick My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but we vetoed it.
You can blame it on me.
We don't want to talk about it.
You can blame it on me.
No, no, it's fine. We didn't want to cover Kanye, especially with, you know, controversies and yada, yada, yada. Also, spicy album to pick. A lot of people have opinions on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Do they really?
I like
that. Yeah. Fantano gave it like a 6, and he still gets asked about it. And that was like, when did that album come out? 2009, 2010?
Something like that, yeah.
So, you know, that's fine. But yeah, I think it should be good. I'm trying to think if there's any, are there any genres we haven't really covered that you guys have thought about? No, but that you've thought about picking.
Oh.
For me, yeah, it's like some rap, some electronic music where I'm like, it's hard to talk about electronic music.
Yeah, probably some electronic albums like that and Pentuple X, S.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a cool weird, like, that's a weird, like, kind of trap album that I have that I love, but, like, I just haven't picked it yet.
I keep threatening to make you guys listen to a comedy album. That's not a music.
It's not music, though.
It's like, not that's music. The hard problem. Yeah.
It's records. This is vinyl. Verdict, not that's music
a
verdict.
You know what? That is a great point, and I am now officially open to it, Jamie.
Dozens of comedy records. Yeah. Like, I thought maybe we'd listen to the Rodney Dangerfield album.
Sure.
Or something like that one day.
What's he do?
He just, I tell you, I get no respect.
I also haven't chosen any, like, blues or soul albums yet, I don't think.
But we've listened to some.
We have listened to some.
We did, what's That's his face? True.
Sam Cooke. We did.
What was the famous guy? If I Ever Had the Time, that beautiful song. Or what's that song called?
Ray Charles?
Yeah, nope. Ray Charles.
No.
Miles Davis?
Miles Davis. What's that song? That song is so beautiful.
It never entered my mind.
It never entered.
That's jazz, though. That's a jazz.
Album. Yeah, more jazz.
Jazz, blues, very roots.
Different. No, they're very different.
All the same.
They're very different.
Yeah.
Clearly, we need to choose a blues album.
Yeah, I've got a few, like Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Got a Buddy Guy album.
Buddy Guy, what Buddy a great name. Guy, yeah. Buddy Guy.
I've got some like just drumming albums too, like Buddy Rich.
Fantastic. Just drumming. Buddy Rich is an amazing
big band. Yeah. It's a big band album, he's like an amazing drummer from the 50s.
Big band.
It's really good. Him and Gene Krupa are just like incredible.
Very influential drummers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a like a specific genre.
I try to vary it up a little bit.
Like I'll probably get you guys listen to Kraftwerk.
I've chosen a lot of different stuff. I've had a hip hop album.
Sometimes it's a 36 out of 40. Sometimes it's a 33.
100%. I'm not saying they're all well liked, but I've chosen like ska, hip hop. I've chosen like a rock album.
We just like to dunk on Pluto.
Yeah, it's fine. I've chosen like an indie album.
I'm
like
just saying. Album. Last year we found out. More of Jamie's were in the bottom half of my list than Ploof's. So we on Ploof, but everyone's like, Jesus, an absolute banger.
It's true. We started this like partially because we realized, I really like that band too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just funny. I pick all the other stuff that I'm like, I just bought this album and I want to talk about it.
Why not, right?
I don't think you'll like it, but whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Space Prison, still up there.
It's true.
Space Wave.
Space Wave was Space Wave way down there.
Way down there, yeah.
Space Prison up there, Space Wave down there.
Yeah.
Anything with space is either top of the list or bottom.
Yeah, Space Oddity.
That's how it works.
You know, we haven't done a rock album in a while.
Okay.
Just classic like rock. Good old classic rock.
Yeah.
What, you want me to do a classic rock album?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I'm just acknowledging.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll choose something like that, something folky. I still have to choose some more 2010s goodness because that's what I've chosen a lot of that.
Sure,
I keep threatening to choose Lumineers or Mumford and Sons. I also threatened Maroon 5 at one point.
Stink.
So
I've done a lot of like late 90s, early 2000s stuff.
I should do some of my 90s stuff. I have some 90s things. I really like talking about Prozac, and that was the first episode.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So. I'd like to talk about The Offspring one day. I own a number of their albums.
Get a job?
Yeah, I might not do that album, but I might do the one before that.
Wow.
Smash. That's the one that
Smash
has,
is great.
Is that The Cockroach? Or is that the one I'm thinking
about? Americana.
That's Americana.
Oh, yeah.
Smash is the one that looks like a chest x-ray, sort of.
What about NoFX?
Oh, I love NoFX.
I don't own any NoFX albums, but I like them.
Yeah, I've seen them live when they did Punk and Drublic here like 5 years ago. It was like
I forgot about that show. It's in Abbotsford so far.
This one was in the P&E.
Oh, wow.
So it was a lot more close. Yeah, I saw
But then people started getting too drunk, or Punk and Drublic.
Drunk in public instead. Yeah. I love NoFX.
I like to do a Me First and the Gimme Gimme's album.
Oh,
sure.
Ploof, you need to do MSI.
No. I don't have an MSI album.
I was like, no, not the computer brand. Mindless Self-Indulgence.
I do not have a Mindless Self-Indulgence album. That would also be a little controversial because some of their lyrics have not aged very well.
I haven't chosen Tyler, the Creator, because I really want to talk about Wolf, but it's like Wolf.
And I'll probably bring up like Goblin. That's a tough one. That's because I own Goblin.
A good album, but it's Ooh,
yeah.
There's some trouble.
How do you defend that?
Yeah, some of Tyler the Creator and like Earl Sweatshirt and and those
all
guys.
Wolfgang, yeah.
They've had some really rough lyrics in some of their early
classic
albums.
Classic Odd Future.
Yeah.
Oof. They're like, it wasn't offensive. Frank is gay. Tyler is. It turned out to be bi eventually, or yeah. Like came out. So it's like, huh?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Sid was represent. In a song, and she's gay. It's yeah. Like, uh huh, uh huh. Right.
That makes it okay.
Well, it's like how I like to cover an Eminem album, but like,
but his albums, his music sucks.
No, what? No, Eminem's great.
You don't like Eminem?
Cringe.
What?
I think I own Relapse, which is the one that has bagpipes from Baghdad, and the whole album he's doing an accent.
One of the worst songs of all time. I'm not gonna say the name as a Repka. Whole, but FACK. Is one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
Oh, I don't like that one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that song.
Cleaning Out My Closet, though, not bad.
I think
not bad.
I like his first couple of albums.
Who?
Like, I like Marshall Mathers LP. And...
It's just very of the time.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. Like, I kind of like the cultural stuff, I guess, but it's also, you know,
I own the Chronic 2001, the Dr. Dre album. And, yeah. Like, I'd like to cover it, but there's, like, five skits on that album, and they all suck.
I've got... awful. I've got a Pepper album that I would love to choose, but it has got a couple of skits. Some of them are hilarious, and I love them. But one of them is, like, incredibly cringe, I don't want to pick that album. Yeah.
Old Eminem albums do this thing where he calls his manager.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, no, it's awful. Yeah. Skits on rap albums stink.
Yeah,
I don't know why that became a thing.
Thanks, Ploof.
You're welcome.
It's your fault.
Yeah, it's all
right. Have you guys been listening to anything recently?
Not anything crazy. Pretty much like stuff I've covered here. I've been listening to a lot of just kind of springy albums.
Sure.
So like,
we've had a real false spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been very weird, cold, and then like a couple sunny days.
Like
and
the next week is supposed to be more like a winter.
Yeah.
In Vancouver.
That's okay.
But yeah, I've been listening to. I have a Good Charlotte album that I've been listening.
What?
To. Oh man, I love Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte.
What album do you know?
You guys,
it's the one with Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Oh, please choose it. That album rocks.
I've heard all this. My sister loves Good Charlotte. I can't stand them.
So good.
I think that one also has Girls and Boys on it.
Yes, it does. That album is so fire.
They have
the
a couple.
Anthem.
Yeah, this is the anthem. Put your damn hands.
I think they have a couple good songs. They're like Blink-182 for me, where it's like a couple good songs. I'm like, yeah, those are great.
Say Anything.
And then
Girls.
And
don't like
it,
boys.
Like, no,
girls
thanks.
Like cars and money.
That's
great
right.
Song.
That's great.
Oh, that takes me way back. My sister and I would be playing like N64, and she'd be listening to that.
Yeah, I've been listening to The Offspring Smash for a while.
Man, maybe I'll listen to Offspring on my way home.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much just been listening to like random songs. I went through my Shazam and like added all the songs Shazammed over the last like 6 months.
I didn't know Shazam was still around.
Yeah, I have it built into my iPhone. The action button is Shazam. So when I'm like listening to or watching IG Reels.
Oh, yeah,
Reels,
you got one of those goofy phones with
I
the action
button. Get the song right away.
Yeah.
But because of that, I've been listening to just like a lot of random stuff. Yeah. Music by The Drums and Jungle more than other stuff. Oh, and Lucy Rose is releasing singles from her new album.
I'm not familiar
We with will that. Be covering that album when it releases. I cannot wait. The singles have been
no
so
idea.
Good.
Would I know anything about her?
No.
Okay,
but Luke Lafrenier, friend of the podcast. Loves Lucy Rose as well. He almost picked Lucy Rose.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know if he'll want to come on for that, but it's very good.
Oh,
listen
sure.
to the new Kanye album. It sucks. We don't have to talk about it any more than that.
yeah,
I pirated it
does,
so I didn't get any money. And then I was like, who cares? This album sucks and deleted it. But no, it's just mostly, singles are getting ready for new albums coming out.
Oh, boy. That album does suck. Oh, God.
Back to Me is the only good song. And it's because of the sample from Dogma.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, not Dragon's Dog.
Did you see that they're trying to do a remake of American Psycho? A movie
Dude,
that only
get
came
Glenn Howerton to do it. The guy from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. What?
He would be so funny as
He'd
American
He'd be perfect.
Psycho. 100%.
That movie only came out.
I am a golden god.
I don't care, Jamie. If they get Glenn Howerton to do it, I will let they can do whatever
hey,
they want.
Hey, Last of Us 2 came out like 3 years ago, and there's already a remaster.
Yeah, I don't understand that one either. That's a weird choice.
Release it on PC, and I don't.
Release
I don't,
it on PC, please.
Yeah, please.
This is a gaming podcast now.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, the... not much else going on in our world, I don't think.
No, I'm just excited to talk about Yeet.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week with our guest, Arthur. And have a great week.
Goodbye.
Bye.